stand and call the meeting order. Special finance meeting of April 28th. Join me in the pledge allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Are we recording?
It's on.
Let the record show that we have three councilors present for the finance meeting, Kate Sutter, Kevin Lightfoot, and myself, Tim May. We also have present Diane Bonback, the Board of Ed Chair, Will Spike, and Julie Chapman, the Finance Director.
John Spank.
John Spank, the Finance Manager, and our Recording Secretary, Cindy Benton. All right, so tonight we have I think this is kind of, you guys want to take the floor. I don't really have anything prepared for tonight other than just to go over numbers. Mr. Pike, the last meeting was asking to have this meeting, and I want to make sure that you guys were invited, so.
Okay. So I don't know if you have any questions for me, but basically I will tell you today I pink-slipped 7 teachers, which was extremely, like, I can't even talk about it. It was pretty difficult, crying and uncomfortableness. When I presented the budget to you requesting a 4.49% increase, I had shared with everybody that it was a maintenance rollover budget. I was very transparent, and I'm learning the game. I think for me, you know, I like to be transparent and honest to a fault. So in that maintenance rollover budget, I had already eliminated, 4.5 certified staff members. So I took a cut already of $500,000 before I came up with the 4.49. I will share, one of those teachers who indicated she was retiring for the full year, Top Step, ended up not giving her notice yet. So with the budget percentage that I got, I have to also add $100,000 back in. She's at 120 with insurance because she's Top Step. That's how transparent I was. So, you know, what I'm trying to do, when you look at all the fixed costs, my wages, and right now we're in negotiations, which, as you know, is set up based on contract bargaining units. We're in negotiations right now with our custodial unit, and that will impact next year's budget, not even in here, because we're in negotiations. 34% of my budget increase involved wages. 23% of my budget increase involved employee benefits. Tuitions and special education magnet schools was 28%. Electricity, 5%. Technology replacement, 5%. Liability insurance, 2%. And service and maintenance contracts, 4%. I'm slightly over 100% with my fixed costs. So I just want to say I don't exaggerate when I said I needed 4.49 just to maintain status quo. I meant that. At 3%, I will lose staff. I hope I don't lose all 7 that I had to pink slip, but I had to prepare and protect the district because it's by statute, I need to give notice by May 1st. So the timeline doesn't work for me, guys, but I think this has been established way before me. Years ago, the state used to have us pink slip teachers in February, they moved it to March, they moved it to April, and a few years ago they moved it to May because it doesn't line up with the budget process. So tomorrow at a Board of Ed meeting, the board will vote on my recommendation not to renew 7 teachers, which is devastating to our district. We heard from the community wanting special education support, and most of my cuts were in special education, so I think people are going to be unhappy. Through surveys we've done with the community in the past, and most recently during the superintendent search, what we heard from the community was programming appropriate to needs and smaller class sizes. Making the cuts I made ahead of time impact class sizes these seven is gonna greatly impact class sizes. My budget offered no increases in salary in staff except for a part-time special ed para educator because that was mandated by an IEP. That was the only staff increase I had done. Additionally, we included no new programming at all. We will be cutting programming. You know, I haven't yet met with the Board of Ed to talk about where these cuts are coming from, which is where our discussion will take place, but I can give you some ideas. Some ideas, and I shared them with you before. Sports, tutoring centers, field trips, reducing teachers, you know, the ripple effect is going to come into play as well. So more teachers, coaches possibly talked about implementing pay-to-play sports, which we know that we've done this once before and it did not go over well. I don't know where else to make the cuts, you know, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
What grades do the teachers' cuts affect the most?
A lot of them were special ed, which are K-12, so it impacted. Before I presented the budget, I had eliminated grade level teachers based on class size. So the class sizes are going up, and you know, if I was able to say in fifth grade you only need two teachers instead of three at the school, I did that. Most of the work that I did around that was with those that had retired, so I didn't have to cut. So this current round is impacting secondary. The first round, for the most part, I mean, I had 4.5 certified staff. It was one elementary teacher who didn't end up going. Not that I want her to go, but I counted on her going. So lesson learned, 2 at Tile and 1.5 at the high school. The cuts that I made today involve special ed and some content teachers at the middle and high school.
So you said then that you also cut other things from the special ed budget. So was things other than teachers there?
What did I say?
I thought you
said
a lot of the cuts came from special education.
Oh, programs. Now it will come from special ed.
Okay.
What happened was with last year's budget, we were able to bring in 5 special ed teachers. With this year's budget, we're going to walk them out. I mean, so we're now a year behind because we lost a complete year with other staff, you know. You know, with the tutoring center, that is a pre-referral process that we use for special education, so people would be impacted. I think what you might have heard me say was with the original budget, the only additional staff I put in here was a part-time paraeducator to tend to the special education needs of a student. So, and I know it's tough everywhere. I'm not trying to be unreasonable. I'm new to this position, and I just want you to know, like, when I said, like, I took cuts ahead of time so it didn't look like such a big ask. I really, really did that. In fact, it backfired because that teacher didn't go.
Yeah, it's totally understandable, and I don't know what to say on the cuts, but it's from the whole town, the change in the veterans benefit, that and with the motor vehicles. What happened is they switched out how we did motor vehicles. And instead of using MSRP, they use, or maybe they use MSRP.
But they use MSRP now.
Use MSRP. So that was immediately an 80% of what we were getting. So we realized 20% loss off the grand list right off the bat, which created around $400,000. And so we were able to get some of that back by doing 5%. And then the other one is the veterans. That was another large sum. And those are all unfunded mandates. And I'm a veteran, and I support it, but they could have done that differently. And that those two together is right off the bat, $800,000. And they took that right off the, you know, right off the grand list. So just getting, we had to really look at from a big picture, because we're making some deep cuts, you know, in the town. I mean, it's just the nature of the business. And
do you anticipate cuts in other departments?
Here?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were making cuts a couple of nights ago, we were making more cuts.
I don't mean money cuts, I meant people cuts.
It could come to that. I think that the amount that we're gonna be telling the mayor that we probably will put a hiring freeze or something like that just to stabilize.
Okay,
you know?
I'm willing to do a freeze if I can keep my staff. I do wanna say that. So I would need $600,000 back to be able to keep my staff. I don't wanna be the only place in town that is losing staff because they will get picked up elsewhere. In fact, I will lose additional staff because of the increased demands on people. I know right now places like New London are paying my fourth year teaching. I had a certified person tutoring and she was offered a job in New London at doctorate level because they have the money with Alliance to take them. And that's not somebody I cut. So as I cut them, you know, these people, if I can't pull them back, I will lose them, especially because they're special ed.
I think the only thing that we can probably do from a town side is really look at capital. But that's just gonna be that's just a 1 year. We're now pushing something off to another year. And we have a few things we can push back on that, you know, we're trying to get it down so we don't have a large tax increase. And it may come down to that, but, you know, there's just a lot of the revenue. I know I've been talking about the revenue. So, Julie, the revenue from the town side, we're kind of balancing out, getting that so that we're not, you know, we've made some headway in that.
Yes.
So there was what that does is that creates a situation where we're putting money into the fund balance. At the same time, we levy taxes against it, and that's not where we should be doing it. So, so, you know, we may have to take money out of the fund balance to try to mitigate some of this, but it's going to be a, you know, one time. I'm just reluctant to keep the Board of Ed budget up and keep inching up, because then every year we have to match that. We can't go backwards on the Board of Ed budget. You see what I mean? So,
yeah.
Last year, as you know, the $580,000 that we're waiting for the state to pay, that came in late April, but the budget was already set. You got the money, but then that's when Kathy wanted to say, hey, we got to bring that back into the budget. You see what I mean? So,
yes.
So those are those grants that's money coming into the state, but if it goes away, it's got to flip right over to the taxpayer to bring that up. So what you have to, you see what I mean? So
yeah.
If the state money comes in, so.
But I think that's based on costs that we're paying on a student.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Right. But if that state funding goes away, which some of it did this year, they gave it back, I believe, right? It was like $40,000 they reduced
it.
But then they gave it back. But that's money we'd have to automatically bring out of another side of the town.
I just don't think that's occurring this year, is my understanding, correct?
It occurred this year.
We budgeted in revenue the full amount
right.
that they'll receive for, I believe
right.
it was special education,
excess
right?
cost.
Excess
right.
cost. We budgeted the full amount, $700,000. It was at $450,000 before.
Right. So we're still looking at that. So that's, you know, we just started our audit, so things may change.
Yeah.
With the new, there's a new finance, she's kind of working her magic and finding things that were done a little differently that are hopefully in our benefit.
Mm-hmm. I guess my question would be, do you anticipate that as a town council, you will have a discussion on the budget and make a decision as soon as possible, or will it sit until June 1st, or the longer it takes for me to understand what I could do with my staff?
My intention is to have this wrapped up by May 20th, maybe in there. I'm probably, we're going to be handing this back to the mayor. He's going to have to make some serious decisions, too. Well, that's my opinion. I'll let Kevin and Kate speak to that if they want. But
do you anticipate giving me any kind of increase on top of the 3%?
We have to see where we're at. I still have a couple more things to go through. I would like to, but I can't make any promises right this second because we got a few things you got to get through. Got a lot of stuff that's time sensitive, meaning that they have an expiration date on it, like the police vests, all the tasers. Those are not huge amounts of money, but there's a lot of stuff like that. All the firemen equipment has to be gone through, so we gotta. I wish I could just go do it and do a 3% on everything. But we still got to get through at least what, 6 more departments. I think something like that. We got 2
yeah,
tomorrow.
Most of them. Yeah, I think 4 more.
Well,
we did 6 total.
Are we gonna do some after the public hearing?
No, I don't believe so.
Right.
I think it's tomorrow.
Tomorrow we
is
got
it
public.
Another day? Tomorrow's
no, tomorrow is public works and the PD.
Yeah.
Then we have the 2 public hearings coming up, and then we have the Bridge Street.
Well, that's the 6th.
Thing on the 6th. Yep.
So the finance will have to have meetings probably next week on some of these other departments. So, well, we heard you and we fully understand.
Yeah. I'm going to do everything that I can to get you your money.
I feel that
I
hear a bake sale coming.
I go through it. I've been going through it every year for 27 years. I know what it's like. I've been paying slips.
No, it's horrible.
You know,
I know it's not helping people. But
I know,
it's
and
not
I'm sitting here
yeah.
and I want to cry for you.
Yeah.
I get it, and I'm on tape saying all this, and this is really bad. I know.
We haven't paid. Pink slip. Lori Palin never once had to do a pink slip, and it's questionable whether the previous superintendent had to or not. So that's how long it
yeah.
was, the work we had to do to figure out how we pink slip, because nobody's done it before.
Right.
And it's not.
Well, we've had, yeah.
I am not the most. I'm objective. I'm a teacher. I'm an educator. I support education. I've talked, before I became a counselor, I've spoken at town council meetings about funding education.
Yeah. Our students deserve as much as we can give them, and I feel like we're never getting ahead with this. We got all these teachers in. We could do great things. We pull them back. You know what? And I get it. It's budget-driven, but who suffers at this is we lack innovation, we lack creativity, we lack, you know, scores that make us proud because we are at the bare minimum. And then to take from that, like not even to do a status quo budget.
I get it.
It's really
I understand.
And
it.
I open up, I mean, you could come in and you have my financials. I can't be any more transparent.
What's just out of curiosity, where is Montville ranked in there? Is it called a DIRG?
So we're a DIRG F.
Okay.
Which is, it goes as high as I. I is, I think, 4 or 5 districts. I will tell you, there are districts in DIRG F that are alliance districts.
Yes.
Montville is not. Everybody in DIRG G, H, and I are alliance districts. So we are one of the poorest communities that do not get any financial help from anybody. Stonington's a DIRG D, Waterford's a DIRG D, Ledyard's a DIRG D, all surround us and we're compared to them, but we're a DIRG F. I don't know if people are aware of that.
What does that actually mean?
So it's really based on socioeconomic demographics. So they look at household income, education level, poverty levels, all those. A's would be a Darien. I is a Wyndham.
So
Norwich is
communities that have more money get more money.
Say that again.
So communities that have more money get more money.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, they're not allowed to fail. Basically, like Hartford, Waterbury, Bridgeport, London, Norwich—they're not allowed to fail. That's why they're alliance districts.
Well,
they get the money they need.
Yeah, historically, Montville has had about a 2% growth, sometimes 3%, in the grand list. This year, we had growth in the grand list. But then the state came in and undercut us. So we were always making them somewhere around $700,000-$800,000 a year increase in tax revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty solid. Even during COVID,
mm-hmm.
we had, you know, some growth. So the real problem is that, you know, we funded the schools steadily all the way around, and we funded the towns. We've taken on more and more things. And so now it's, you know, whenever the state does that, I mean, a loss of effectively about what you just said, 600,000, was kind of what we were counting on, having that growth, you know. And so, but we're going to be going through the different budgets, and I think we could probably make some of that up in capital, but then it's a one-time thing, and, you know.
I was going to touch upon that too, as I'm sure you're aware, there's a lot of labor negotiations going on right now.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of departments getting raises too, which is, you know, affecting the budget.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're not after the Board of Ed or anything.
Oh.
I made the comment the other night, you know, if we need a dollar, we're not trying to take a dollar from any one department, but we need 20 people to give up a nickel.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, we're not after any one department or anything like that. We're trying to.
Oh, I think that too.
To
oh, yeah. I just want to be clear. I totally think and agree that
yeah.
with that. I would just think.
Where do we stand in the state now for testing with the kids? Because weren't we like the 23rd school in the state for a while?
I don't know how we're ranked, you know, across the entire state, but I know that we have a lot of a need for improvement. Like, but our kids struggle. You know what I mean? They don't come to school ready to learn necessarily. We have behavioral issues. You know, we have a lot going on. But I couldn't tell you where we rank, like on a timeline, you know what I mean? But I could tell you that I believe that we could do better, but it's really hard with, you know, large class sizes and lack of creativity and innovation. Which is really, we've put all our money in the past in elementary and we never made it up to the middle and high school. And we lack engaging, dynamic needs to keep kids entertained and wanting to learn.
What constitutes a large class size? Is there like a range?
So, yeah, so there's, you know, the research will say class size doesn't matter after third grade, you know, K to two is where, you know, they really push for it. But what we have found post-COVID in particular is that putting students in small group gives us the biggest student outcomes. We have class sizes, and it was in my budget book, at the middle school. They were at 20, they'll go up to about 27 based on some cuts we're making prior to today's cuts.
Are the rooms big enough to accommodate a class that size?
We'll find out later. I can't add on a classroom, so we'll have to do what we have to do. Yeah, I think right now they are, but I'm trying to think if I've been in elementary level. They're big classrooms.
I know with special education, you get a lot of reimbursement and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. Do you find that you're getting quite a bit back from the state reimbursement?
Well, we get it from you guys, but because it comes in through, but yes.
So we have the 700,000, but we're picking up another 125,000 from the second load that just got approved.
Right.
That's on the website. So we should be getting 825.
I think you're getting eight something now.
Eight something. Well,
now, and you're gonna and they cut it back 40,000. Then they,
no, the 40,000 Tim was on the ECS.
All right, that's what I was thinking about.
Right, the excess cost grant was already at 700 and change. We picked up another 125.
So,
we should be almost close to 900,000.
So a couple things that are happening. It may be a gamble, but waiting on the state legislator to come up because we did put in a wish list on a lot of the capital projects. So I'm thinking. On your capital side, so we can make that 600,000 a little closer. Is there anything on capital you can defer or put off?
We could go through it and look. I know Wills and I have had conversations on there.
Yeah.
Because the school bus, unless, I mean, school buses, I know we have a, there is a periodicity on those, but that's a big one. That's $270,000.
Yes. Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, we could, yeah.
Yeah, the board would have to discuss it, and Tim, obviously, just see what the.
I'm just putting it out there, wait, can you, you had a question there?
No, I agree.
Yeah. I have a handful of questions. My first one, I would like to address, how was your first year?
Ask me next one. No, it's okay, it's interesting, but it's good. It's a really good team, and I'm building a team. As you know, I was down a director of special services this year, so as a new superintendent, and you take jobs to learn, you don't go into jobs fully ready, right? So as a new superintendent, I had a new assistant super, no director of special services, and I had my finance person leave me, so.
You're surrounded by good people, so.
But I am building a great team, and in the end, I'll be glad all this stuff happened.
Good.
So.
So what's curious is we don't have an HR director, so her whole passion is education, and today she's doing HR work, which is unfortunate, you know? Like the superintendent.
FMLA or like the pink slips.
She does all the HR too, so we're quite lean at that level.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's become the norm for a lot of places, is people wearing multiple hats and learning things that are outside their normal wheelhouse.
Well, I will say, and I didn't wanna say too much, most school districts, as I'm on a thread with board chairs, do have either a half-time or a full-time HR director, specifically to allow the superintendent to focus on what we hire her for, education and education only. I mean, not necessarily a full-time, Kevin. It could be like a half-time, 0.6, but they, almost every district has an HR person.
Yep. So my next question is, what was your, and I don't know if you'll have this data, what was like, so COVID was what, 2020?
2020 through 20.
So 2019, what was your staff numbers for the schools? I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, I could look. For the most part, I'm trying to think of any increases. I don't believe we had, the only increases we were able to do through the years post-COVID would have been security, which is on the chopping block now, which I don't wanna do because we know how the community feels, and social workers. I can't think of that.
But you had some teachers, assistants, teachers aides.
I don't have to. Oh, paraeducators.
Paraeducators, sorry.
No, that's okay. So we did take some, just, and this is important to note, we had part-time paraeducators. We made them full-time, but that was a wash. So we would take two part-time to full-time, so that was a wash.
I remember that was a thing we did last year, and Tim was very proud of that, happy that you had full-time people.
And it was wonderful. It ended up, it was a wash in personnel, but it cost us money because now they're eligible for benefits and stuff.
Yeah.
But back to, I can't think that we added classroom teachers or anything like that. With that said, if I did, they're all gone this year, regardless, because as I looked at class sizes and as we had students moving from one grade level to another, so for example, they lost a teacher at Oakdale, they lost a teacher at Murphy, they, no, Mohegan and Oakdale, but they needed an additional teacher at Murphy, and that was a net loss of one teacher, which, you know, happened. Well, will happen when this one person gives her notice. Otherwise, bouncing is gonna happen.
So it's mostly paraeducators, a board certified behavior analyst.
That was last year.
Right, but I mean, he's talking about people we've hired since, and social workers, and five special ed teachers.
And security.
And security.
Yeah, I'd love to know the numbers on like the 2018-19 school year versus the where we're at now. For whatever reason, that just tickles my curiosity.
Just number of certified full-time.
Just overall staff. I don't.
So you just want, you just want a number like 550, 560, 500,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
if you break it down a little bit, I would appreciate added information.
I'll see what we can do for sure.
Okay, thank you for that.
And
yeah,
have,
I wasn't here that year, so that's why it's hard for me, but I will find it.
That's why I started with, how was your first year?
You have Montville PD helping out with security too, right?
Yes.
Just partial, I mean, it's like half or a third.
So we have two SROs in the buildings and one available if somebody's out.
Okay, and then the rest of them you have?
SSOs, school security officers. They carry a weapon, but they're employed by the Board of Ed.
if there's a police call, I think all three of you know, if there's a police call, SROs go to that.
I'll give you an example. This week, there is car seat training that took, I don't know how many days, they're going for five, I don't know if they're all five. At the same time, the third SRO needed a rifle, something or other, so I didn't have an SRO.
Car seat training?
Yeah.
Okay.
That my SROs needed to not be in the building for. That's why, to me, I don't wanna cut an SSO, cause I control them.
Well, I see what you're saying, yeah.
But I might need to increase that budget.
They have a free thing, I think, coming up for double checking cars.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah, yeah, but it's just not convenient, you know what I mean?
I can't remember when that is, but I think that's coming up soon.
Well, probably real soon, cause they're all getting trained.
Yeah, it's coming up, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
So like I said, the state legislature, we know the Kathy Austin, what was it?
February.
February, we went over a lot of the things that, like, hospital stuff that was bonded, that didn't pass the bond, so we wanna make sure we got that in there. And we'll see, I haven't heard anything back, but we're trying to get that.
Okay.
So there may be, and then I guess I don't know if you wanna go over capital tonight or go over with your board.
I need to, yeah, I'll go over.
You know, stuff like buses and stuff like that, it's easier to, and that's the full price, right, for a bus, $278?
Yeah, we had it on there, we talked about the leasing, yeah.
It's a lease.
And then I'm, but it's $278, so it'd be like, what, $45?
No, it's $1.7 total, it looks like. And is that the first lease payment, or is that a different bus every year?
No, if you look at it and explain it, it breaks up over the.
Yeah, there was a staggered plan for leasing buses, right?
Exactly, staggered across the year, the last.
Are you still looking at leasing over purchasing?
Right. Yeah, so if you go here, just to show you the explanation for Cartwell, here's number one. Here's number two, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, these ones are kind of non-negotiable, they're already in place. And those are actually budgeted for in our debt service, the budget.
Okay.
So the $278, is that, like, this year we're paying, next year you're looking at $278 as part of your capital? I mean, I know the entire thing is, it's one, says one third, what I understand.
No, that's a priority.
So.
It's a little tricky.
It's a one out of three, what you're saying.
Yes.
So what I was getting at is our fund balance, and I don't know, Julie will fully support it, but our fund balance is a little heavier than we were expecting. And it has to do with how things were, I guess, done last year. And so, we took out $2.8 million out of fund balance, but we didn't spend it, is that correct, Julie? And then, so we're rolling that over this year.
Yes, that's correct, yes.
So, that means we have money in our fund balance, so it would be somewhat easier later in the year, if we do have the money available, to say, let's go ahead and buy the bus now. Cause we can take $278 out of the fund balance and buy the bus. I'm not making a promise, I'm just giving you a situation, I'm trying to get, keep the taxes low. But at the same time, the fund balance is kind of inked up.
Yeah, I understand.
And that's buying the bus versus leasing, right?
Yes.
So, right, at the top, it's the leasing, but the replacement would be purchasing.
Yeah, cause I was gonna say, when we went over this last year, she said after, what was it, 3 years, it becomes cheaper on buying or leasing, was that, Wills, is that right?
That sounds right, but I don't wanna be quoted on that.
Well, yes.
I don't wanna be quoted on either, but that was what stuck out my, that's why, but I think she did the math on it, and I wanna say that after 3 years, it was cheaper to buy than to lease. But, you know, your savings are there the first 3 years, and then after that, you lose that. And that's, if I remember that correctly.
Yeah.
So what I was getting at is, it's a little bit of a risk, so keep in mind that we are asking our state legislature for some money.
Yeah.
And so, look at your capital, let's try to get into that. Maybe we hire back five of those people, those seven, you know, you see what I mean?
I would be really grateful.
But, you know, look at your capital, right now, it's, cause it doesn't sound like you can go through your budget and find $600,000 laying somewhere in your budget, other than your capital.
Yeah.
You know?
No, yeah, I can't.
So, And we're doing the same thing with our capital. I wanna switch back to the mayor and say, hey, we're gonna do these later or another time, or why are we doing it this way?
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, but stuff like fire trucks, you know, those are kind of time sensitive stuff, and we're gonna be, you know, we got a big ladder truck that's gotta be coming down. We're asking the state for money for that, hoping to get that, because that's coming up on, that truck's coming up on 25 years old, and that's a big one. So I'm trying to look for the future of how we're gonna, you know.
There are a lot of grants out there for fire trucks, because I sit on a, because I want.
So, because we're not.
Someplace else.
I forget, we were just going over this the other night.
Oh.
It's not correct what he said, but that's good. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
He was basically saying that since we don't have a full-time fire department, we are not eligible for grants, but that's not true, because Oakdale gets them all the time, so.
Yeah, but there's, I thought he said there's a different level of grants that you're eligible for.
That could be true.
So once you do something, so I think some of that granting is depending on how your firehouses are broken up, so I think that becomes, that stumbling block.
It could be, I mean, I just know because I live in a fire district and I'm on the town council down there. I know that they have, they employ people to write grants and, or give them a stipend to write grants and you can write grants. But I'm aware of how much a fire truck is.
Are there items that you could use your 2% fund for? To help take off some of the burden from the budget?
Well, the 2% I believe can only be for like one-time situations.
Yeah.
It can't be for recurring, so right now.
So like the bus could come out of that, right?
I guess.
I recommend the board not to buy a bus with 2%. That's a pretty valuable piece of real estate we have there. I would forego a bus, I would do something like we're doing. An upgrade to the server that's 30-plus years old for the finance department, for the new finance director coming in, and that's like 50 grand.
Do you anticipate any money left over through the season?
I'm sorry, I missed.
Are you anticipating any money left over or not spent at the end of the season?
Not at this time.
No.
Julie, do you know how much is in our 2%? Because I know what Kathy told us, but now I'm a little concerned.
Well, I was working on that today, because kind of seeing where things are has been a learning curve. But as of the 6/30/2023 audit, there was almost $740,000 in there.
That seems
so
really high.
Throughout,
I thought it was like $500,000.
No, but
so that was my next statement. Throughout fiscal year 24, I haven't determined if anything was taken out of there. And then we have to figure out how much will be added as the fiscal year end 24.
I think we're
well.
Closer to 502, 510, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, because
okay.
I think you spent some money on a language or reading program, I think. I'm not.
We have spent some money. But we try to be very deliberate on what we spend it on.
It
will be in the Board of Ed.
Yeah, we would have taken
a
motion.
Okay.
I can ask Jen to make it like that.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have some options.
Last year.
I mean, it's not. So let's try to work on that $600,000.
Yeah.
Either we're leaving some of the capital for another year, and then relying on the town council to maybe take some money out of fund balance to help out with some of that stuff.
Thank you.
And that's the only, and that's a promise I make every year. I do that, you know. But it, the only thing it doesn't do is it doesn't increase your budget. So it's kind of a double-edged sword next year. So we have to, you know, brace for that. All right. But
right.
So it's still a 3% versus a 449. That's what you're saying. It would still be a 3% versus a 449.
We're gonna be discussing that. Probably right now it's a 3%. You know,
okay, got it. All right.
Because it doesn't, I mean, well.
No, I want to make sure I heard you correctly. I understand what you're saying.
Well, if you look at your capital and your increase, say 3%, or 4.49, then you got to add the capital on top of that, so it's more like 7, right, to the impact to the town. Because there's whatever it is, you know what I mean? So all you're doing is sliding it from one side to the other. So, you know, so right now the 3% is a 1.3 $5.7 million increase from the previous. A 4.49 is a $2.3 million increase, and that difference is
$675.
Right at $600,000.
$675.
It's $675, but I had to find almost $800.
$800 because of the teacher. Teacher's not retiring.
I hope she's not watching this.
Well, top step.
Because I don't want her to go, but she's just sad.
That'll unfold, but I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
But we start looking at it from a holistic, and we've got time, you know. And you know, unfortunately, you had to put pink slips out May 1st. That's beyond our control. But I don't know. The best we could have done, Julie, is probably be like 3 weeks ahead. I mean, maybe we're 3 weeks behind. But I don't think we are from last year. I know last year I went late.
Yeah, we presented the mayor's budget. I printed the day it was due by the charter.
So. And then last year did it. So I know we were talking, and I wanted to do the budget because I was waiting for the legislature to get back to us.
Oh, yeah, I know. That May 1st date is ridiculous, but I had to protect the district.
We literally had $500,000 of money waiting for the state to give us that last payment that we had to that had to come in.
Yeah.
And it doesn't come in until April 30th, May 1st. So that last chunk of the last whatever quarter or whatever that, it's either ECS or something like that comes in.
I don't know if there's a way that you would be able to let me know, you know, I guess this is kind of a risk, but the longer we wait, the more, so hiring special ed teachers is nearly impossible. As luck would have it, this year of all years, we hired rock stars. So me letting them go was devastating today. And I'm talking who I had to let go are those that are in the specialized programming that saves us money from outplacement. And not to make any, it's just, they were the last ones in and first ones out. If there's any, I know you have to have a meeting and the mayor's got to be here, but if there's any way
where the mayor has to be
oh,
here.
He doesn't, I don't know how it works, so.
No, I mean, but I think.
The sooner I know, the sooner I can pull back those pink slips is what I'm saying.
So
they will go
you,
to other districts.
I heard you say that it saves us from outsourcing.
Yes.
So would we actually be paying more by laying off the teachers and having to outsource?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any
more.
Figures on
I can tell
hundreds
you
of thousands.
Yes.
Per student.
Yeah.
You know, so
money.
I will tell you right now in my programming, I probably have 20 students, you know, a K-12 in this programming. Out of those, 1, 2, 3 of them got pink slips.
Do you have any data on what that those teachers cost and what the savings are versus us outsourcing?
Well,
you don't have to have it right
no,
now.
No, but I do know it.
Outsourcing program costs.
They're
yeah.
the cheapest teachers we have.
I
money watch. Sorry.
No.
So, thank you.
So, a teacher. One of the teachers that, as a brand new teacher, a lot of times brand new teachers don't necessarily go into these programs. So, for example, somebody today who got a pink slip, I want to say is at step 5, you know, we brought them in from Hartford, at step 5, but new, so they're going out. So I want to say that person is probably, and Hartford pays a little less, so I want to say they were at like 65,000.
Is that benefit package everything?
I, you know, some of them, I'm trying to think of how old, some of our younger teachers tend to stay on their parents until 26, so I just don't remember if she was. So I think the benefit package, if they're single, is like 12,000. 12 or 13. If they're single, it's 20 if they're not, and then maybe 26 if it's a family. So it's big bucks.
Mm-hmm.
To outplace a student, you're usually without tuition, and that's where the money's in tuition. But their programs are anywhere between, depending on where they go. I have students on average between 80,000 and 120, not including tuition.
No.
That's looking at Waterford Country School. That's looking at, I can't even think of just
EastCon,
yeah, but I'm thinking, I can't even think of all the places, but I have it built into my budget because we have students already outplaced that I can give you specific.
How many of those kids that are covered under that umbrella do you think you would need to send off for different programs.
So again, it depends, so if I have to close that program down, I think it'd be hard, because what happens is they move from the general ed classroom because they're not making it into my program, and then we try and do it there. Once they can't do it there, they go out. Our new hires have been, because of the experience they gained in other districts, have been really, really good. Hartford, as you can imagine, have some challenging. So she left a program like this in Hartford and is really building ours up. I don't think all of them would end up being outplaced by any means, but I do think some would. I mean, right now I have some are on the verge of being outplaced right now.
Standard practice that the last one's in or the first one's out?
Yeah, because it's called tenure. So it takes 4 years for a brand new teacher to become tenured. Other districts non-renewed all of their non-tenured teachers. I refused to do it. I spent all weekend looking at the domino effect, because I know for a fact if I got pink slipped, I'd bail. Because I know I'm going to get it again next year, because we're already hearing it's tough next year. So I would bail. So I did not do that. I originally had about 15 on my list, and I got it down to 7. And I had to take, like, I was shocked that a teacher that I never, that was special ed, and I, you know, pink slipped her. Turns out she has an elementary cert. I didn't even know, because she never once worked under it. You know what I mean? But I'm holding on, like, oh, she comes back, I may have to force her. She's got a job, into first grade. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. So it's just a fascinating process.
So Diane, our next town council meeting is May 12th, is that right?
You can check.
Well, just
double check. I believe it is. Sounds right.
Yes, May 12th. So I'll be out of town, but I'm gonna challenge my counselors here is you're gonna meet with your Board of Ed.
Okay.
Try to make up some of that 600,000 or whatever. And then what we're going to have to do is, as everything prepared, talk to the council and say, okay, here's that new number, whatever, the combination of what you guys do and what we do. And the only way, we're not voting on the budget that night. So, but we could, in theory, give you assurances that that's the direction we're going to go.
Okay, that's fair.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Do you guys understand what I'm getting at?
Mm-hmm.
So
I would just need to know if you're going to cut me further, or if you're, yeah, any assurance you could give.
At that point, that will have a tentative path of what we're looking at.
Right.
Otherwise, but again, can't make any guarantees.
Right.
It's not final.
No, I understand. It's just the challenge of if we let it just wait until June 1st, I will lose team. I will, and rightful. I mean, who's going to sit around and wait and hope when they could get jobs? Ledger
well,
we
may not have the budget done until the end of May. So that's not, that's still, that's might as well say June 1st, but if May 12th, we can say, here we go, let's say we can, between what you guys look at in your capital and that, and then, because we're looking at our capital the same way, and then we say we get 550,000, at least that's probably 6 teachers that can come back or special, right?
Yeah.
Instead
yeah.
of, you know, and it's not as, it's not a draconian hit.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the only thing is that reason I'm bringing it up this way is next year we're not going to have the veterans thing, so it'll be established. We're not going to have the cut in the vehicle tax, but there may be other cuts.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking, I'm actually looking at next year with this year's budget, because I don't want these cliffs to be programmed into our thing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we've done historically. We've programmed in these cliffs. And we mitigated it by either taking out a fund balance or doing it, but knowing that we had growth.
Mm-hmm.
But if the state takes the growth away from us from the town side, you know, what can we do?
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't talked to them about doing a tax on hotels, and they said, nope, can't do that. You know, we have almost 600 hotel rooms in this town. You go to Stonington, they can tax. Look at Stonington, they got over 3,000 hotel rooms. In little old Stonington, right? Because of the beaches.
Yeah.
And so they make money, they make revenue, they make enough just on their hotels to pay for their police department on taxes. We don't have that. So
we will do that.
I have the as you know, the 24 audit is just starting.
Yeah.
But I'm curious if you can speak at all to the expenditures last year, because there was 1.3 million left. Were there things throughout the year that caused that? Or do you know why so much money was left over?
First I'm hearing about it.
Yeah, and I could get the answer, I just
okay.
don't know it.
Seems like a big number.
Yeah.
It does sound 1.3 million.
308.
Left. What's 308?
1,308,000.
Oh, I thought that was a budget.
Do you have that in front of you?
No, we agreed on the number though. We balance. It wouldn't take long to figure out.
So where would that money gone? Back to general fund, or would it go into?
Well, it has to be determined if any of it is going to the 2% fund or not. And the excess would go back to general.
I don't know if you know this, but when our finance director got ill, we called for a special audit. And that went through and fared all our policies and procedures, and they were found out all kinds of interesting things. And it wasn't so much that we were ever deficit, it's just money just piled up.
Yeah.
And it wasn't articulated correctly. And we're finding this out kind of now. So these audits are good. So,
yeah.
For sure. Find that out, because I'm sitting there wondering, why does our fund balance just keep jumping by $2 million a year, every year? You know?
Yeah. But so that was money left over in expenditures, you said?
Yes.
23, 24.
From our operating budget.
Yes.
Oh, 20.
That's a crazy number, 1.3.
Yeah.
No, it actually makes sense when you start looking at it, because if you're not looking at it right, because there was one year, I don't know if Julie knows, but one year we got interest on money that we had in a bank, and it came in, right? I think it was $900,000 in interest. I'm just throwing. You know,
yeah.
So are we going to do that again?
Yeah.
It's like.
Okay. So can I have that money back? No, just kidding. So I don't know. I'm going to find that out.
It may be good to know, because it may have you revise your budget. That'll help you out a lot.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's kind of the problem. It's not really a problem that we're having is I'm going through and I'm finding all these revenue generating accounts that we've been levying taxes against, I think. I'm not sure. But I don't know, came up this year, $2 million of stuff that we.
Yeah, we moved it to a special revenue funds instead of it hitting general fund.
So, but there's a lot of revenue coming into the town. But on this side, it's their budget, just like on yours. This is my budget. I got to pay teacher salaries, electricity.
Yeah.
And so this is my budget. And over here, I don't know, but on ours, we had revenue coming in, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go look at, let's say, Social Service Bureau, you know, they have, let's just say $200,000 or $175,000 in salaries. They'll have another $150,000, $200,000 in revenue and from grants. But when you look at your budget, oh, it's $400,000 budget
right, right.
that I'm levying taxes against. Well, realistically, it's really $175,000.
Right, right.
So, in the same way with Parks and Rec, same way with Senior Center, all those have revenue generating functions.
Yeah.
You know, and you may have I don't know how your business works, but you may have revenue generating things like bus services. I don't know what you guys do.
No.
I don't know. I just don't know.
We don't have revenue. What's curious to me is that the audit. Kathy just left, so. If we had that kind of money hanging around, I think she would have told us, or John would have known and told before today. I mean, like, that's an exceptional amount of money, $1.3
million.
Out of an operating budget, I mean, that just...
Yeah, yours is pretty tight when it comes down to margins.
I mean, I could see maybe $500,000 or $400,000, you know, that's like 1% on a $40 million budget. I could deal with that, but that's a lot, Julie.
I know.
That's an awful lot of money.
The likely suspect would be health insurance. That's the only thing that's big enough.
Yeah.
And we're self-insured, so you're estimating as you go along, and then the claims come in. So there's some
that
timing
happened
issues.
2 years
that's
ago.
That's the first place I'm going to look.
2 years ago, we had a huge, you know, just people didn't get sick.
Yeah.
And then we're we're putting money down by whatever that formula is. Same with the pension. That was when Terry Hart, before she left, she said, hey, you gotta look at your pension because it was getting overfunded. Well, then we hired a bunch more town people and that took care of that. But, you know, that's the kind of thing that, that can roll up real fast.
Yeah, we'll look into that. Us too are finding things that are, you know.
Well, if it's 1.3, we can only take 2% of our current budget. So it'd be 8 and change.
Right.
We couldn't even take the total 1.3. That's a mind-boggling number to me.
I know.
Wow, it's just like floor.
I'm telling you, I've learned a lot with Julie and she makes me happy. Remember right there, she tells me stuff. It's like, okay, thank you.
Thank you, Julie. That's awesome.
You're making them happy. There you go.
She's going to put on a shop in town.
I remember last year we were sitting at this desk, number 7, and we'd ask a question, and it would be, I don't know. I'll have to get back to you. No,
yeah,
I'm going.
I didn't know about that last year.
You just lost it, took it out of your mind.
You took the winner out of my sales and bringing it up. It was my first year here, and I asked questions because I did some of my brain work, so I want answers. And I got everything but an answer.
Well, with Kathy leaving too, John and I have really been in contact and trying to work together to get everything situated.
Appreciate it very much. Board appreciates it.
We are very lucky to have John. He thinks he's leaving sometimes soon. He's not.
Doesn't know that yet.
I think he slashes tires. I don't know why.
Wow.
My car.
I think most superintendents would say, how about a pay raise? About slashing tires? Oh, my God.
He's not leaving.
It's nice to hear everyone working together and, you know, good communication and get through it. I celebrate that because it's sadly a great victory.
Yeah, thank you. And I really appreciate you guys taking the time to meet with me. And
we're just looking at the back end of the finances, and you know, there are some in really and truly, we don't really truly see the full financial picture until May.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you guys can see the full financial picture in February. You know, I know it's whatever the rules are, you got to do it, but
yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Do you have
so
any other
we'll
questions?
See. Yeah. You on Wednesday.
Public hearing.
So we'll see you then.
Tile Middle School.
You might want to be prepared.
I'm just there to listen.
I think it'd be great if two people came out. I'd be happy if people would just come to the public hearing.
Oh, they typically do. I mean, yeah, you're right. It's been.
I do too.
No, just like it'd be nice though. You know, shock value of like 25 people come would be very nice, Julie. We don't normally get. These guys can tell you a public hearing maybe gets.
We've gotten quite a few people at the public hearing before.
Yeah,
right?
So I will say this last year, first year again, they said, oh, it's going to be at the auditorium there, wherever.
Yeah,
it was.
High school.
And I was like, oh, that's a lot of seats in there. Oh, and the nervousness came over me. And then we got there and I was like, it's just like everything else. Like, but the nervousness came over me is that, you know, we're going to be in front of a place. And I just envisioned a ton of parents being there. With, you know, the torches and pitchforks and anger, and there's very few people there. That was.
But I mean, a handful came because I think I remember. I know my administrative staff will come.
Yep, there was a good amount of administrative staff.
Board of Ed members talk.
Board of Ed will come.
Yep.
And that's what they should. They're supposed to be voices.
I don't know what will happen. You know, I don't know if teachers will come or.
Well, if you just laid off 7, I'm sure they're going to
make more. I know, I'm thinking like, I don't know.
Don't
and just so you know, again, that was a May 1st deadline. I clearly made it as late as, I have to have a board meeting tomorrow because they must get, I did a courtesy, I told everybody today as a courtesy, I don't have to, but they must receive notice that the board approved their non-renewal before May 1st. So like Wednesday, I have to go back and hand them all. Dreaded letter.
Well, I wish I could get a town council meeting together tomorrow, and but that all day's gonna happen.
Yeah. So, but anyway, thank you for taking the time.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Nice meeting you.
Motion to adjourn.
And if you do have a chance, I'd love that information.
I will get it for you.
Staff numbers.
Yep, I will.
I'm always curious the.
Motion to adjourn.
I will do that. Thank you, Kate.
A second then.
I'm so glad I got you as an advocate. Thank you very much for taking the time. I appreciate it. Thank you. Good questions.
Okay.
It was so good to meet you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
It was wonderful. Oh, gentlemen, I got a good team. I'm almost there.
You do.
I just hope I live through it.
You will.
Thank you. Have a good night, everybody.
You too.
For real.
That May 1st is part of the contract. It's a good.